Go get it. Turn and run.
The Rodney Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those hands around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
You want to come out and get a kick 180 until you get out of there, okay?
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rodney Morris, and your host, TJ Reeves.
Well, welcome in one final time in 2011 for the 2010 season here on the Monday finale of the Head Coach Raheem Morris Show as the Bucs get a win in New Orleans, get a 10th win, and put yourself right in position to perhaps get some help and be in the playoffs. Unfortunately, that help did not come, so we now know as we sit here tonight that the season has ended, but nonetheless, a tremendous turnaround, a great job in New Orleans yesterday. With that, one more time, we say hello and welcome to the head coach, Raheem Morris. Hello, sir.
How you doing?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all, to everybody out there, the fans and yourself and everybody out there.
Okay, so how has today gone? Because reality has kind of set in that even though you did your part, you got your win, it didn't work out, and the season is over with.
It's been miserable, but yeah, we're dealing. You know, you can just go out there and do what you think you can do. And yesterday, our team went out there and played a marvelous game, you know, put us in a position to have an opportunity to go qualify for playoffs, and it just didn't work out our way.
A lot of people are wondering about this part of it because they're well aware of what happened at the Superdome, but we ended up leaving out of the Superdome and heading to the airport long about 5:30 Eastern time, while the Bears game was going on with the Packers, while the Redskins game was going on with the Giants. It took a little while, as it always does, to get through security, to get on the airplane. The airplane takes off with those two games in progress, and then eventually we find out that the Packers and the Giants both had won while on the airplane. So, you know, we have not had a chance, obviously, to talk with you since all of that went down. It was kind of deflating in the midst of the victory and the end of the season at 10-6 to have that happen and have it find out that way, coming back, traveling back from New Orleans.
Yeah, well, I do. I said exactly what I was going to say I was going to do. I fell asleep and I woke up to bad news. And, you know, it is what it is. I had to prepare our team today to come in, to do all our exit deals, and it's kind of, was kind of a sad deal to see garbage bags land in front of your lockers, clean it out, and all that jazz. So we had to do that today.
How did that go with seeing the guys as you did earlier today and, you know, speaking to them and leaving them with a final message as you did?
Well, the best thing about, you know, seeing all the guys, all the IR guys came back, you know, all our practice guys, we signed back today, got some productive things done as far as that was going on. We talked about our team. We talked about where we're going. We showed a little video of us in the community and all the things that this team has done positively to affect the community. I think that was great. You know, Mark Dominic put that together and showed it to the team. And, you know, these guys forget how much they do. You know, seeing those guys out there giving away turkeys and seeing those guys out there doing all stuff to do for the community, you know, it gave me a sense of pride. You know, I know we always glorify all the negative things that happen, but, you know, a lot of times we always miss those things. And it just brought that to the attention of what we want to do and how far we want to take it.
All right, so that's how things closed out today. And, again, we've got much to discuss here on the program, and we are going to be taking your phone calls as well, so stand by for that a little bit later on in the show. Obviously, there's not an upcoming opponent. It's the end-of-the-year show, so we're going to kind of look ahead to 2011 as we get towards the end of this show. But let's go back to the Superdome yesterday and the way that things began. You're battling the New Orleans Saints, and, you know, first of all, we knew there were playoff possibilities all over the place. But you said to us before this game that, hey, the only thing we can control is winning this game and then seeing what's going to happen. And you come out to battle the Saints, you know, a team that handed you a bad defeat earlier in the year. But you came out, battled them right away, and drove down the field right off the bat, took the crowd out of the game, and got a field goal, got points on the board.
You know, it was part of it. You know, we wanted to get the ball first, let Josh go out there and control the game, keep Drew Brees on the sideline and that offense. And let our offense go out there and control the game a little bit, and they was able to do that. They marched all the way down the field and was able to get a field goal for us in that opening drive, which was big.
You had a couple of big plays. One was a pass play to Ryan Purvis that got you a first down. You had another play where LeGarrette Blount lowered the shoulder and ran right over Malcolm Jenkins on a run around the left end. Jenkins ended up leaving the game with an injury. And then eventually on a 3rd and 13, kind of on the fringe of the field goal range, you got some yards back, getting the ball to Desmond Briscoe, the first of several plays he would make for you. He got about 10 yards back. That led to the field goal.
It was a great drive by, you know, obviously controlled by Free. Great job by our offense, moving the ball down the field, spreading the ball around a little bit. Got Craig Lumpkin to catch one of his first of the season. You know, got all those guys in the mix. You know, I think Free broke some type of record for most you know, most receptions to guys or something like that. I don't
know. How about he completed one to Craig Lumpkin, and then later on, I believe either on that drive or in the first quarter, he completed another one to Eric Lohrig, and that's the first time in NFL history that a quarterback has completed a pass to 17 different receivers when he hit Lumpkin, and then it became 18 different receivers when he hit Lohrig. So that's never happened before in an NFL regular season that a quarterback has found that many different guys. Again, it's just a testament to the different people that you have called upon to get out there and make plays, and they were able to do that. So you're up 3-0. The Saints get the ball for the first time. They're able to move down the field, and they converted third down several times on that drive and eventually got a touchdown out of the drive to take the lead.
And we talked about this last week, these guys having the best openers, first 15, whatever you want to call them, of any team in football, just about, man. They've come down to score on us throughout the years with Sean Payton at the helm. Repeatedly, and it was no different yesterday. They moved the ball right down. We had a couple opportunities. We had a dropped interception on that drive, and we also had a missed sack opportunity on that drive. But, the guys stayed in there. They kept fighting. They made them go through us the slow way, and they're not giving up a big play or explosion to get them in the end zone. But they did walk down the field and get in the end zone on us.
All right, so they're up 7-3. You go 3-and-out and get back to them, and the Saints start marching down the field again with Drew Brees completing passes. They're able to mix the run and the pass a little bit. The second quarter begins. They get inside the 5-yard line, and this would be a critical sequence. They had a 3rd-and-1 at your 3-yard line, and it looks like they're certainly going to get a field goal out of this, but they hand the ball off. And Julius Jones is trying to make a play, and he gets popped by a couple of guys, including Barrett Rood. The ball is out. You fall on it. Huge momentum swing to stop them, and they got no points.
I think Barrett Rood delivered a big blow there and, hit him and knocked that ball out, and Frank Okam jumped on top of it, a big D tackle. And those guys just having fun getting the ball back for us. A big, huge play by our defense in order to stop points. If this team gets going, we know they could put them up in bunches.
And this defense all year long, and it was exemplified again yesterday, opportunistic, taking advantage, maybe not overpowering at times, maybe not able to come and get 5 sacks in a game or, hold a team to negative rushing yards. But you time and again, and we saw it yesterday, when a play had to be made, there were turnovers created and plays made, and there was a great example.
I told these guys, the only way you beat guys like the Saints and those powerful offense that are going to move the ball on you, it's got to be able to score and get the ball back on defense. And we got the ball back twice. We were able to touch Brees and get 3 sacks on him and do some positive things, and those guys really came out to play.
All right, so the ball is on the 4, as it turns out, and that starts a 96-yard drive, as it turns out. 5 minutes and 40 seconds off the clock. A couple of big plays on that drive. You're able to get a first down with a pass to Mike Williams. Later on a field goal attempt, they jump off sides, and you take points off the board and keep the drive alive. And tell me about that. In that instance, you had kicked the field goal, but obviously you wanted to take the first down and go try to score a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, we kicked the field goal and went in, and, we had the opportunity with the ball on the 14 with Freeman with another fresh set of downs. We're going to take that opportunity all day to go score, and Freeman did exactly that.
Yeah, you hit Preston Parker on a little wide receiver bubble screen, and then the lob in the end zone to Desmond Briscoe, again, who makes – a fantastic catch in the corner of the end zone, and then is able to toe tap those feet and get in for the touchdown and the go-ahead score.
A great catch by Desmond Briscoe and a great throw. And at this point in the dome, man, it was really quiet, and that was a great feeling. And it was an eerie feeling, like we were the only people there. And all you could hear is our little Tampa Bay murmur on our sideline. But it was a good feeling, man. It's nothing like, nothing like playing on the road and playing in those hostile environments to – really quiet them down.
And everything goes quiet. Now, I'll share with the audience here. I didn't get a chance to share this on the air yet, but we do it here on your radio show. When Briscoe came running off the field, there you were, and you were yelling, yeah, Briscoe, and you were running over to give him 5. I mean, that's a young man that's been on the practice squad. You called him up to the active roster last week against Seattle, and there he is making a big play in the 16th and final game.
He was one of the guys, our management team found, and we looked at him in the draft process, and we would take him off someone's practice squad and get him to come over here in our practice squad. He's been here working very hard every day. He's moved up to our active roster. He's been active the last 2 weeks, and he's been productive for us. And you can't say enough about these young men and how hard they work and how hard they prepare.
All right, so that gives you the lead at 10-7. It's kind of a back-and-forth battle after that. They end up punting. You moved into scoring position. You then had, unfortunately, some self-inflicted things happen with a delay of game where you couldn't get the ball snapped, and then Josh Freeman takes a snap and a sack, and the ball comes loose. The Saints fall on it. They get the ball at midfield. Now they've got a chance to go get some points.
It was a great turnaround. New Orleans got the ball, and we were able to get the ball right back to our offense. They just came off a long scoring drive. You mentioned it. So we were able to get the ball back to our offense in hopes to get more points there, put ourselves in the ideal situation. We had, like you just said, some self-inflicting wounds. You know, it really came back and hurt us and bit us from earlier. You know, we had a couple of personnel decisions that we messed up earlier where we had to use timeouts. And some of those things came back to hurt us. We weren't able to use our timeouts there and to put ourselves in better situations to hit timeout, to pause it for a little while to regather ourselves and
right.
get it going. So that thing came back to hurt us, and they got the ball right there in midfield. But another big, huge stop by the defense. Getting that interception after that.
Yeah, they move into scoring position. They look like they're in certain field goal range for sure, but Drew Brees is trying to get more than that, trying to get seven, trying to find Lance Moore, but you pressured him. He threw errantly, and Larry Asante, another young man that everybody's trying to figure out who are these guys, is right there, and he makes the interception.
You know, Larry got on our team probably 4 weeks ago at this point. You know, we picked him up. We've been here training him. He's been inactive a couple games, but he finally got him active the last 2 weeks. He's been out there playing, been productive for us, and really, you know, just one of those guys, man, that we've been talking about. And he went out there and got a big-time interception for us.
So, again, you keep the Saints from getting no points. That would be huge as the game moves on. You get into halftime with a 10-7 lead. We're going to come back. We're going to talk second half. We're going to take your phone calls as well, and we're going to look ahead to the future in 2011. It's the final edition of the Head Coach Raheem Morris Show here on this Monday night. Happy New Year, everybody, on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035. Once again, here are Coach Morris and TJ Reeves.
Final edition of the Head Coach Raheem Morris Show as the season comes to an end, but it ends with back-to-back wins at the end of the regular season. Unfortunately, the playoff tiebreaker does not work out and ends the regular season at 10-6. You know, a lot of times, teams, you know, you've mentioned this before, for these teams that are now playing in the playoffs, it all ends in a downer for every team except one, because only one team wins the Super Bowl. Obviously, at the end of the regular season, you have a chance to win or lose, but I mean, your team finishes with a couple of victories at the end of the season, so that's an up note to head into 2011, and more on that in a couple moments. We left off talking Saints game, halftime, 10-7 lead. And again, we talked to you coming out of the locker room, but reiterate what you had said to your team getting ready to go play the second half.
You know, actually, we got ourselves together. You know, we talked about, you know, getting closer, getting tighter. We had a little mayhem at the end of the half. We talked about with the offense, you know, trying to move the ball there, couldn't hear. So we had to get some things under control. We got that under control. It was a great teachable moment for our guys, and it was a great moment for us to bond and really get together and go out and take this game. And those guys, exactly what they did, exactly what I asked them to do.
And it would be a battle through the third quarter, more on the intrigue of the Atlanta game and what happened with that and how it affected the Saints and their strategy in just a little bit. But they come out of the locker room, and they start marching the ball again. Brees was very successful on third down for much of the time that he was in there, and he converted a couple more third downs on that opening drive. The key was they had a third and seven late in the drive, and they couldn't get it and ended up having to kick a field goal, and it ties the game up.
Brees is always good on third down.
Right.
Brees is a good football player. You know, he's one of those guys, he ruins your stats. But he's coming out, he's playing well, he's moving the ball down the field. We just got to hold up. You know, it was a bend but don't break day when you play that guy. If you keep him out of the end zone, you make him kick field goals, you get him a little frustrated. And I love to see, you know, Drew get frustrated when you can make him kick a field goal. And that's the only way you can beat him.
Yeah, you were getting turnovers. You kept him to the field goal there. And now we have said this on several occasions this year, and in the positive light, you turned the game around with a special teams play, in particular the kickoff unit and Michael Spurlock. After the kickoff by the Saints, takes it 69 yards. The kicker actually did a pretty good job of slowing him down and getting him out of bounds because he was almost gone again for the touchdown. But it's a huge momentum swing for your team.
You know, it was great. You know, some of the guys that don't get credit, you know, for some of those kickoff returns that we don't mention their names much because they're just up there blocking. That's all they're doing. But, you know, guys like Albert Mack, you know, going back there in the back end, really being back there for the first time because we had some injuries. Guys like Dakota Watson, what he's able to do and how he's developed for us on special teams and some of the stuff that he's able to do for us is just unbelievable. You know, E.J. Bigger's out there leading the pack. You know, he's our starting corner right now, still out there on kickoff and playing as hard as he can and go out there and try to find any way to get us a win. And that opened up something for Spurlock, and he's able to hit it and make people pay.
You know, the Saints fans are all too familiar with what Spurlock did on the punt return a year ago that helped in the upset, the shocker at the Superdome. Here it was again. This guy is just a special return guy, and we've seen it now over the course of about three seasons. He got another kickoff return for a touchdown earlier this year against Atlanta, had a big one last week against Seattle. He just – I mean, I know there are teammates blocking for him, but he's got a knack for being able to find the crease and take off and make big plays.
He's just a good football player, you know, and a well-designed play by his coach, Rich Bisaccia, who does a wonderful job for us, you know, and everything he's able to do this year and creating those big plays and developing young talent. You can't say enough about the coaching staff and what they're able to do as well.
All right, so you're able, after that long kickoff return, you get a pass to Eric Lorig. That was the moment there where he was the 18th different receiver where he caught a pass in the same season, an NFL record. But you could not get the first down. You had gotten to third and two, and you could not get the first down. It's now fourth and two with the game tied at 10. Was the mentality all the way there, take the 3 points, or did you ponder for a second, hey, maybe we take a risk here and try to keep the drive alive and get seven?
No, not when you're coming off of holding the Saints to three. You know, if you held the Saints to three, if they score a touchdown, maybe your mindset might be a little bit different. But we held them to three. Let's take out three, especially off the big kickoff return. Let's get something out of this thing for sure. And we got something out of it and got our 3 points.
You did. Connor Barth bangs it through, and that gives you the lead. And then this was another key sequence. Here in how everything played out. Saints get the ball back. They get a first down. They get near midfield. They get a penalty. They now have a third and eight situation, and you come up with a huge defensive opportunistic play. Again, this time it's Alex McGee, another guy that a lot of people might be going, okay, wait a minute. Who is that? Where did he come from? He was acquired in a trade from Cincinnati, been on the active roster some. Huge play there.
We actually got him from Kansas City.
Kansas City, excuse
off
me.
Off the trade, and we got him in the middle of the season as well, and he's been one of those guys here working, training, getting ready. Got a helmet on a couple weeks ago. I believe the first time he had a helmet on was San Francisco game, and he's been playing for us ever since. He's been in a constant rotation for us and getting better and better every week. And he came up big with this play in the sack. We blitzed him. He got a nice one-on-one. He beat the Pro Bowl guard for New Orleans Saints on a one-on-one move and went there and sacked, got a huge sack fumble.
And not only that, you fell on the ball.
Tim Crowder
falls on the ball, and you get the possession of the ball right there, and that's a third turnover. Big difference in the game.
There's no doubt about it. You know, it's so hard to get to Drew Brees when talking about sacks, and it's so hard to get to him because the ball comes out in such timing. It was a great pass rush move by Alex McGee. And a great job by the defense, again, to capitalize.
All right, and that would lead to another key sequence. Again, you get an initial first down on a Freeman scramble. You eventually are faced with a fourth down play, and it really was closer to fourth and two because I was standing right down there on the line than it was fourth and one. You initially were going to try to run a play and go for it. Then you decided, okay, wait a minute, we're going to kick a field goal. Then you decided, okay, wait a minute, let's take a timeout and talk about what we're going to do. And again, this is a key sequence up 13-10. Take me through all of that.
Well, actually, it was third and seven, and we were kicking a field goal. You know, we didn't get it right there at third and seven. But then we got really close with the fourth and one, the fourth and one and a half-ish. I actually cheated and walked down there too with
mm-hmm.
you. But so we've seen that part, and we went to the sideline, and we were going to go for it because it was so short. And, you know, we got the big giant quarterback. Was thinking about running quarterback sneak there. And we would run out of time on the play clock. We called timeout to talk about it. Myself, Rich Bisaccia, and Greg Olson. And we called out play, and we called out fake sneak. And we pumped up in there, and Freeman backs out of there and throws a dime, to Mike Williams right there. And, you know, that play is designed really to go to Kellen. He was being covered and held. And Freeman
big time.
Used his legs a little bit, got out of there and made a play.
All right, so the play, again, is designed to look like a quarterback sneak, and then he kind of disappears. And he's huge. It's tough for him to disappear, but he kind of kneels down to where you can't see him and then suddenly pops back up and is looking to throw left. And absolutely, Scott Shanley, I'll call him out, has two handfuls of Kellen Winslow's jersey to hold him, to keep him from breaking out there. That was the first option, and then you had a backside option to Mike Williams going over on the right side towards the end zone. And it's throw it up and go get it.
It's so hard to hide Freeman when he's back there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's bigger than most of his linemen. So for him to get down and get low enough to fake the sneak, to disappear a little bit, then pop back out of there and really be, you know, agile and strong and big, you know, after his first option was going to make a play like that, what can I say? We coached it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a gutsy situation, though, there, because, again, you've got a certain three that you don't take. You now are throwing in the end zone where it's either he's going to catch it or maybe get a flag, or if he doesn't catch it, you're not even going to have the first down there in that instance. But Mike Williams, phenomenal play to be battling with the DB, hand fighting, break free. We've seen it several times this year in the end zone. There it was again.
You know, when Free relies on his guys and starts to trust his guys like those great quarterbacks do, you know, Tom Brady's and Drew Brees's, those guys, you know, get guys they know are going to either knock the ball down or come down with it for them.
Well, and that was an enormous – you know, I go back to something that you said the night of the draft, and this was very prophetic when you said it. I remember interviewing you on Buccaneers.com shortly after you had made the draft moves and taken Regis Benn, and you later would take Mike Williams, and you said, we like both of these guys because of their ability to go down the field and outfight DBs for the ball. You said that back in April before they had ever suited up for you in a game, and we saw it all year long, and we saw it there again in a clutch situation in game number 16.
Strong, competitive guys. How they go up and fight for the ball and believe in their quarterback. That's what you want, and that's what we try to get in these two young men. And fortunately, we came across a couple other ones too. Desmond Briscoe making big plays, and Preston Parker stepping out there. We had already had Sammy and some of those guys, and it's been fun to watch.
All right, so that leads to the touchdown. You have the lead at that point, 20-10. Saints get the ball back. They move it again, but again, you stop them on a third down, and they elect to kick a field goal. So the game is 20-13. Then kind of a wild sequence takes place where Josh is rolling out on a third down. He's dragged down from behind by Alex Brown. It's the right call on a horse collar. It's a 15-yard penalty. It gives you a first down. Then he's pressured and tries to flip the ball and does to LeGarrette Blount, who gets hit and fumbles the ball. A crazy play, and the Saints get a turnover there. You've had time to analyze it, look at it on the tape. What happened on that play?
We got to be more cautious with the ball when you're running it, whether you get it. You know, LeGarrette wasn't an option there, and, you know, Freeze making a play. And as he's making a play, he flips it to him like all these great quarterbacks do that we see. LeGarrette gets the ball, and he didn't have time to put it away and be ball secure, and the ball pops out of there, and they get the ball back right there.
All right, so this was a very interesting part of the game because at that point they have recovered the fumble. They are down by 7. But at the same time, the Saints now realize, looking at the scoreboard and getting relay information from the Georgia Dome, that the Falcons are clobbering the Panthers. And we talked about this leading up to the game. We talked about it with you in the pregame show. Might there be a point in time where they decide, okay, we are now aware that we are playing next weekend in the playoffs, and we've got to think about the health of our team. They had already lost a couple of guys because of injury earlier in the game. They elect to take Drew Brees out of the game in that instance, particularly because he had taken some hits earlier in the game. So he comes out, and Chase Daniel, the rookie, comes in to play as a backup there in a one-score game, and you hold them, and they elect to punt the football there right around the 40-yard line.
Right after the big sack, you know, that we got on Drew Brees there, and then the field goal, notice Chase Daniel start to warm up. And then they start to pull defensive starters, you know, even when they got the fumble here. So they get, you know, at 5:52 in the fourth quarter, they start to pull their guys as they must have got the information that, that it was over.
Because in that, I mean, in that instance, you know, they don't have anything to gain with what they're risking. They know that. They know they can't change their fate because Atlanta's clobbering Carolina. So it's kind of interesting how things played out. So they punt to you, and then there's one more big play coming here, and that's the long ball to Desmond Briscoe that ends up covering some 54 yards, got you out of your end, got you to their end, got the final 3 points on the board and the margin of victory.
It was great, man. Desmond made a play, and he was wide open down the field, and Free got it out there to him. It was beautiful, man.
Did he do – you've looked at the tape. Did he do something to fake somebody out? Did they completely ignore him? Why was he so wide open on that?
They had a man-to-man coverage. Now, they think they messed up a bracket. You know, they were in and out and with the receiver, and two guys ended up covering one, and they forgot to cover Desmond down the field. So
great awareness by Josh Freeman. It may not have been the primary option, but suddenly it became the primary option, right? He's wide open down the field.
No question, man. For Josh to find him like that is the signs of a big-time quarterback being able to see the whole field.
All right, so you get the field goal, and basically they kind of go into a run the clock out kind of mode. They run the ball a couple of times. They punt the ball near midfield. You end up kneeling on the ball, and it is game over. It is a second straight win in New Orleans. It is a 10-6 finish. Take me inside that locker room, because at that point in time, you're very much alive. You had done your part. You had won your game. You're alive for the playoff process.
You know, it just came in. Then it was the waiting game. And I talked about those guys and being proud about what they've been able to do and what they've been able to accomplish. You know, they was able to get out there and LeGarrette Blount rush for 1,000 yards, do some of those things that we were able to do on offense, really let Freeman develop into what he did over the last, you know, four games of the season with the numbers he were able to put up and some of the statistical things that we can all talk about now because of the offseason. But we were able to do some of those things and do it and get it all accomplished. So we're proud of that fact, and we had to get in the plane and play the waiting game.
Yeah, and unfortunately that part did not work out, as everybody is now well aware of after the fact. So let's go through a couple of things that end up here with this regular season. You mentioned Josh Freeman. He had one of the best passing seasons in Buccaneer history. He ends up with 25 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. That is one of the top 10 all-time NFL seasons in touchdown-to-interception ratio. Not just top 10 Buccaneer, but top 10 all-time NFL seasons. 25 touchdowns, only 6 interceptions. The last 13 games, number 5 threw a touchdown pass in every one of them. Remarkable stats when you start looking at that and his productivity and what he was able to do.
That's great stuff for his first full time, you know, starting his first full season. And he better go out there from beginning to the end. And we're proud of him and where he's going. And he'll get better and better as we go.
Well, and a couple more on this. LeGarrette Blount goes over 1,000 yards late in that game. Got a couple of carries to put him up over 1,000. That is only the second time in the history of the NFL that an undrafted player in his rookie season ends up getting 1,000 yards. And this is a young man that really didn't start getting the bulk of the carries until about midway through the year.
Yeah, I'm not sure when he actually started getting all the carries. But, you know, he got his bulk of carries. And when he did, obviously, he was productive with them. And, yeah, I can't say enough good things about what he's been able to do, you know, what this young team has been able to do. And it's unfortunate that we got to sit home this week. And I don't know what I'm going to do without you next week.
Well, more on that in just a little bit. Mike Williams, while we're going down the accolades, his touchdown catch gives him the Buccaneers single-season record, not just for a rookie, but for any Buccaneer receiver, 11 touchdowns in a year. And there have been some receivers that have obviously played for this team, going back to Kevin House and Jimmy Giles and moving forward to Mark Carrier and moving forward to whether it's Keyshawn Johnson, Joey Galloway, on and on down the list. But Mike Williams now stands alone with 11 touchdown catches in a season as a rookie, Coach.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Again, you know, all these records they were able to, you know, break or tie or whatever they would do all season. You know, it's been really good. I'm really fired up for the team, and now it's about starting over and doing it again.
Well, great job by obviously all of those guys. And as you know, as we've been talking about, you like to say stats are for losers, but I mean, a lot of these statistics. I mean, again, another one that Buccaneer fans need to be proud of. This is the first time since the merger of the AFL and the NFL that a rookie has led a team in rushing and a different rookie has led a team in receiving. You had that on your team this year with Blount and Mike Williams. So, and that's doing a great job for both of those guys to, you know, once again, step in and lead your team the way they did.
You know, these two young leaders, you know, from the rushing standpoint and receiving standpoint, that they play with this five, and he goes out there and leads it the way he does, man. You got a bright future, you know, long-term winning here in Tampa. Long-term fan base, getting everybody back in our stadium, packing that place up, man, it will be fired up, and I can't wait till it happens.
Yeah, Josh Freeman has gotten the FedEx Air Award again for this week. He's up for the monthly award. LeGarrette Blount won the Ground Award last week. I mean, these guys starting to get some recognition. Freeman was named as an alternate to the Pro Bowl as well, and, you know, the accolades are coming in. I'm sure that Mike Williams and LeGarrette Blount are going to have to get some consideration for Rookie of the Year as well. I don't know who ends up winning the award. But, I mean, they're going to have to get some consideration on that front.
You know, it'd be nice, you know, to see those guys get out there. You're proud of them. You know, what they've been able to overcome, all their adversity they dealt with coming into the league, and some of the things they've been able to do has been awesome. You know, so they're dynamic talents.
Now, while we have a second here before the timeout, we're going to get to your phone calls here in just a second with head coach Raheem Morris. Mark Dominic had a press conference earlier today, as did you, and he said, hey, to the media that was assembled and anybody else that was listening, that we have the NFL Coach of the Year. We have, you know, we have the Coach of the Year here on our roster. I know you don't want to talk about that part of it, but I think you deserve consideration for that part of it, for the job that you did with all of these young guys, coaching them up and getting to 10 wins.
You know, all those accolades, you know, are really, really awesome. You know, and you look at those things when your career is over and when you're done, you know. But, you know, we have the GM or the management team of the year as well. So, Executive of the Year, Mark Dominic. I mean, I can't say enough good things of what he's done and to help us, you know. You know, what we've been able to do together, you know, it's been fun. You know, it's been establishing our identity. It's restoring, you know, Tampa back to the, you know, the top of the NFL again. And that's what we want to do, man.
I think Mark has obviously got to be considered for that award. I don't know how many votes he's going to get or not get, but what an amazing job. Hey, one fun one before the timeout. How many different times in different ways did you have a meeting with him late night, Sunday night, late night, Monday night because of an injury or whatever, where it's who do we have, who can we get off of a practice squad, who's on the waiver wire, who are we working out tomorrow? Take us back to a couple of those where you're – I mean, you had to do it probably more than you would have wanted to, but you kept finding guys by doing it that way.
You know, the more impressive part about it, I felt all year, we stayed ahead of the curve. We were able to get guys and have guys, you know, ready to go you know, either on our practice squad or on our team by having a little bit of foresight and seeing what might happen and potentially can go down. So we were ahead most of the time. So the late night stuff, you know, didn't necessarily occur. You know, it was more of conversations on, here we go. Here's that part of that plan we talked about. Let's go out here and execute it.
Well, and that's what this team did to get to 10 wins. And while we're throwing out the accolades, the biggest single-season win increase in franchise history, plus 7, going from a 3-win season last year to a 10-win season this year. The 7-win increase is the greatest single-season increase in Buccaneer history. How about that? All right, so we've got much more on the way. It's your turn up next. Coach likes to call it his couch time. Here it's one final time on the 2010 edition of the Raheem Morris Show for the 2010 season as we come into the new year here in 2011. Jump aboard on the phones, 990-4620 in Hillsboro. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, wherever you can hear the show. Outside of the immediate area, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. More with the coach, and we'll look ahead to the offseason in 2011 before we're done as well on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Raheem Morris Show rolls on. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Fourth down and a long yard. Freeman drops back to throw on fourth down. Throws a fade route toward the end zone. It is caught! Mike Williams! Touchdown, Tampa Bay! A remarkable catch! Mike Williams beats the defender on fourth down and one. Freeman throws a floater up, and it's brought down by Williams. He holds the record now with 11 touchdown grabs of the season.
The one and only Gene Deckerhoff on the call there. And you know, you kept saying throughout the year, impossible to ignore, ESPN finally got around to putting a Mean Gene call in the lead to SportsCenter, because that was one of the first things they showed when they're about to begin SportsCenter was Mike Williams coming down with that ball and that radio call you just heard with Gene screaming here on the Buccaneers Radio Network, and rightfully so, on a fourth down play to beat the Saints again. Before we get to the phones, I guess the only shame of it is that that was not a winner-take-all game to get you into the playoffs and knock them out one more time. I mean, it maybe ends somewhat differently. Breeze is certainly going to stay in the game. You don't know what happens in the final minutes with dramatics or whatever, but that's kind of a shame of how it turned out. But it's still going to write down on the ledger as a win to end the season at 10-6.
No question. You know, next year. We got next year, and that's what we're all looking forward to. And, you know, hopefully Gene will be on SportsCenter a lot next year. You know, hopefully we get some primetime games. We'll be able to play some Sunday night games, some Monday night games. And you know, we'll be impossible to ignore. And that's what we want here as an organization. And that's what we want, you know, for our fan base. That's what we want for Tampa.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting. I'll just say as an editorial comment, when you keep putting teams on, for example, like the Houston Texans who've never had a winning season, and give them a couple of Monday night games and a Thursday night game, it'd be nice to see some love for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers off a 10-win season. We will see what they elect to do. All right, your turn on the phones here with the head coach, 990-4620 in Hillsboro, Pinellas 727-461-4620, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, and we will put the toll-free thing to use right away with Courtney in Dallas, Texas, joining us here tonight with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Courtney.
Scott and Coach, once again, I want to congratulate you, Coach, on a very successful season. And I've been following you guys since early in the 80s, and I'm a Bucks fan here in Dallas. You know, Coach, this is a very important season for me as a fan, because I came to your first game, and I drove to Dallas. I mean, to Tampa Bay last year in the game against Dallas, and I've seen the transformation of the team. I've even seen and watched the transformation of you and your delivery. And I want to ask a question. I'm a young, aspiring business owner, and I've watched your attack mentality, how all the injuries piled up on the team, all the cards stacked against you, and you still came out attack, attack, attack. And that thing vibrates throughout the organization, throughout the fan base, everybody. And I want to know, what do you read? How do you get up every day, every practice, every – I mean, I'm very impressed by you, Coach. And I mean, roughly about the same age, so I have a ways to go. But, you know, you motivate me. So can you give me some insight on that? Thanks, Coach.
Sure, Courtney. I mean, I was fortunate when I went to Kansas State. You know, we had worked for a couple of people, and they introduced you a couple of books. You know, Ron Prince was one of the guys that did that for me. You know, Good to Great, Red Blink. You read books like that. You know, right now I'm actually reading Jay-Z's book, to Decode It. But you gain motivation from those books, but you also gain motivation from you know, the peers that you've been worked, that you worked around, you know, with Ry Marinelli and Mike Tomlin, you know, some of those guys, you know,
Monty Kiffin,
and you know, even Coach Groove, man. Coach Groove gave me a bunch of, you know, motivational ideas and things that I got from him, and some of the things he motivated me with. You know, all the guys that have been around, you know, throughout my career and throughout my profession have all been, you know, guys that's helped me. You know, having the ability to sit around this building and talk with Mark Dominic gives you motivation. Having the ability to sit around and talk to your coaches now gives you motivation. And also former players like Derek Brooks and, you know, and current players like Rondae Barber. You gain things from everybody. And I pride myself on being a thief. I try to steal all the good information I can steal and use it and try to make it, how do I try to make it become me and who I am and what we're doing. So I'm constantly evolving, and you have to be, I think, in this game in order to be great. And that's what we want to be.
Yeah, it just takes, you know, different styles, different strategies, and different years. You're going to have to do different things. I wonder, he goes back to all the way back to your first game, and now we've come forward to two full seasons. We've seen dramatic improvement in this team, and I think a lot of Buck fans would say dramatic improvement in you, your coaching, the way that this team has responded. How are you different? How are you better? You're more experienced, obviously. Give me a couple of things.
You know, going out to that first Dallas game, and, you know, the direction for me wasn't quite set yet. I wasn't calling the defense. I wasn't calling the offense. I was just game managing, and I was trying to process it through a game management, you know, point and standpoint. Whereas we evolved to the season, I was able to take over the play calling. And once that happened, I really found the comfortable role for me and what I want to do and how I want to dictate the game and how you want to go about our business. And you have to control the pace better. You have to control offense better. You have to control special teams better by being a defensive coordinator, which is something that helped me personally. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is tough, but it keeps you locked in. But at the same time, it helped me, you know, tremendously, and I guess that's had to be, you know, the biggest difference.
How much did you learn and realize my team is going to respond positively or negatively to how I respond positively or negatively? And if I respond negatively, I mean, you've even talked earlier this year in the Baltimore game that really made a mistake coming across the field and arguing with a ref there because the team saw that. And, I mean, you have to learn those things as a coach. They're going to respond positively or negatively to what their leader, their coach, does. Elaborate on that part.
You know, it all goes back to mental toughness and how you deal with each situation. You know, you don't get overly excited when you do anything positive, and you don't get too down when something negative happens. You know, it's about being mentally tough and remaining even keel, you know, in order to keep everybody on the same page and keep everybody thinking the way we practice, the way we've taught about it, the way we've talked. And that's like the main process for us and how you control your team. And then, you know, yesterday we talked about at the end of the half there, we had a little mishap with communication. Mm-hmm. And I maybe get those guys back together, look them all in the face and tell them what they should be doing and how they should respond. And we came back out, man, and reacted and played well.
I thought it was interesting, too, and we'll get to your calls in just a second, but this is good insight here that you maybe necessarily didn't get on TV or wherever else. Josh Freeman was hot. He was upset. He was upset with Jeremy Zutaw. They were arguing. He came over to the sideline. He was still visibly upset with Greg Olsen and trying to get everything straight and calm down. And then there kind of became a moment where all the steam got blown off, and Josh went over to Jeremy Zutaw. They were on the same page. They shook hands, kind of did the chest, you know, bump thing. You're my guy. I'm your guy. That showed a lot of maturity right there of, okay, we've blown all the steam off. Now we got to realize there's still a game to play. We got to keep focused. We got to keep locked in. That was great maturity out of your second-year quarterback there.
That's huge. You mm-hmm. know, you have no idea, you know, and it happens throughout a game and throughout the process more than anything now than ever before. You know, Josh is getting to the point where he's elevated his game to where he knows exactly what should happen. He has a vision for himself. And when it doesn't happen that way, he's able to blow steam off to his guys, but at the same time bring them back. He don't want to lose anybody, you know, and he doesn't lose anybody on his team. He'll never lose his coaches, and he certainly will never lose his guys, man, because they know the amount of work he puts into it.
Nice stuff there. All right, Jay in Wachula is next on the phones. Thank you for waiting, Jay. You're up here with head coach Raheem Morris.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, coach, congratulations on a good season there. I'm glad to see it worked out the way it did. I would have liked to have seen that playoff berth, but it wasn't meant to be this year. Maybe next year. Hey, I really love the way that you coach there. I like the flexibility you approach the game with. When you see something from one week that you may have done wrong, didn't work, the following week you're not afraid to change. you know, and I really like that about you. You're not like a lot of other coaches, set in your ways and, you know, just going to do whatever they do, even if it don't work. So, you know, I hope you keep that style about you. The offense, I really love the way that you got that aggressiveness going. That's something special here in Tampa, being that we've been a defensive town for so long. And, I really love that. That wildcat, you get Josh Johnson in there going. You know, keep that in the playbook. That's creative. That's special. Fans love that. You know, my question to you is, with all of that said now, how do you deal with the expectations that's going to come next year? You're going to have some prognostications, maybe even may favor the Bucks next year. How do you manage a bunch of young guys to deal with that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Good question.
That's great, Jay. You know, I actually made that approach today in our team meeting. You know, you talk to those guys and you tell them how everybody's going to love them, you know, and everybody's going to talk about them all offseason. And that's great, you know, for our fans and our fan base and to get everybody back into the stadium and to get everything going the way we want to have it around here. But for us, you know, internally, it has to be ignored. It has to be the same mentality we came into the season this season with. It has to be the mentality of going out there and trying to win every game and not feeling like we're old or entitled to anything. We have to go out and play it one game at a time every single time we go on the football field. And that's, it can't never change. That's how it has to be.
That's the way to approach it, and that's the way this team approached it this year with a 7-game improvement. Frank in Lakeland is next here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Frank.
Hey, how you doing? Happy New Year, Coach.
Hey, Frank, how you doing, man? Happy New Year.
Good. I know you like to take week by week, but being that the season is over, I had a question about the draft. You probably didn't get to see anybody yet as of lately, but there's a lot of mock drafts out that have the Buccaneers selected Robert Quinn, a defensive end for USC. You know, he didn't play this year because he violated NCAA rules. But as that said, do you see yourself drafting like a caliber player like Amon Black in late rounds? Because everybody knows he's not going to be a first rounder. Pretty much sure he will be selected, but. Because I see you like a lot of players who you draft, you like the players that you got, they have a lot of heart and they don't quit. And just like you always say in your interviews and your radio show, you like players who, you know, who show a lot of enthusiasm and basically fits the Tampa Bay squad. And I appreciate that because we fought a lot of teams that you picked up. I mean, a lot of players that you picked up that fit the team very well. And I hang up and listen. I want to see what you think, your thoughts about the mock draft.
Okay.
Well, Frank, with the draft, you know, I haven't been on to the draft yet. You know, I start my draft process here, coming up here very shortly. You know, Mark Dominic, Dennis Hickey, you know, Shelton Coors, and those guys have really been looking at some of the draft players, and they're putting together lists. And usually what I like to do, you know, Frank, I give you a little bit more information than I usually give anybody, but they give me a list of people, and they give me a list of the top 100, you know, and they give me a list of the top whatever 100 by position, and I get a chance to start, you know, breaking them down, looking at all those guys and going through the process that I like to go through in whatever format I'm feeling that day. But to name names, we don't tamper in Tampa. I can't actually call out names of the guys that you would like to have some of those things. But I don't want to give any information away too early to the opponents. But we will go back and try to continue to add people to this roster. We look forward to the draft. It has to be big around here. You know, we got a saying. You know, we want to draft players that we want to resign. You know, everybody goes out looking for free agents, but we want to draft our guys, get them here, let them grow, build them, and then re-sign our draft picks, re-sign our guys. You know, let's be right in the draft, and let's do it the correct way.
And one quick thing, and again, we'll get back to your calls, is you not only did research on the guys that you were drafting, but you elaborated on this about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I believe. You also did extensive work on a whole bunch of players that ended up on other teams or might have been on the waiver wire, and that's where you start seeing LeGarrette Blount, or that's where you start seeing Desmond Briscoe, who we saw yesterday, guys that you had evaluated for the 2010 draft who were suddenly available, and it was critical to go pick those guys up when they were available.
Yeah, we call it our second draft, you know, LeGarrette Blount, you know, Ted Larson, you know, Desmond Briscoe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those guys that we were able to, you know, evaluate throughout the draft process that was somewhere in that top 100 list that I just got finished talking about, to evaluate those guys. I watched more tape on Desmond Briscoe probably than you can even imagine, you know, and he went somewhere else and we had the ability to go back and get him. And then we were able to evaluate him in the preseason in an NFL game, and it never stops.
Yeah, that's a process that, as you mentioned, will begin shortly. Bobby is in Tampa next, joining us here with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Coach, I really appreciate the great season. I back you up. There's a lot of people that have some negative things about you, but, hey, you know what? You bounce back, and you're a big-time coach that I like, and I think that we can do a lot. And I believe what you said before, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are the best team in the NFL. You know, and I appreciate the great draft picks that you picked, and I think it was probably the best draft I've seen since, 1976. I've been a diehard Buccaneer fan.
All right, Bobby. You'd like to hear that.
Well, I guess I just say, thank you, Bobby, and, I guess to my critics, you guys you're always going to have those,
Sure.
It's always going to be naysayers, but it's an entertainment business, and I embrace that. I would not be, coaching if I was going to
worry about this. Let me say something real quick. Anybody that would look at 2010, where nationally, maybe even locally, there was not much expectation, that would look closely and see all of the injuries, the young guys that had to be used, see the development of Josh Freeman, see the development of rookie guys like Mike Williams, LeGarrette Blount, all those guys we've been talking about on the defensive line, the offensive line that you've had to utilize, would see a 10-win season, would see a 7-win improvement from last year, and not say that the coach did one heck of a job, doesn't have a clue, and ignore them. How about that for a message on a Monday night? We go to Demetrius in St. Pete. Hello, Demetrius.
Hey, Coach. Congratulations, man. Very great season. I took a lot of heart knocks at the barbershop talking good about you. I mean, I'm telling you, they were picking on me today in the barbershop. But listen, being a D coordinator in the head coach, and being the head coach alone, it brings a huge responsibility. Have you considered probably looking at somebody on your staff to elevate? They know how you do things, how you like things, maybe a Jimmy Lake or someone you may elevate to call the defensive signals, or are you comfortable with doing that going forward?
No, we'll have all those meetings, and I probably will at some point be able to name some type of a defensive coordinator. But, as far as calling it and the game day procedures, I don't think I've won a head coach and not do that right now. At some point maybe I'll be Joe Pa. And I'd be to stand on the sideline and go back to my management days. But, right now I'm enjoying it too much. I'm having way too much fun with putting our plans together and going out there and really executing what we want to get done. And we got so much room for improvement and so many things that we can do to get better. I look forward to it. I wish I could play tomorrow,
Right.
Unfortunately, we can't. But I look forward to getting some of these guys back off IR and really being excited about it again.
And we got time for one more phone call. Chris in St. Pete has been waiting patiently as well. I believe Chris is still there with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey there.
Hey, Coach, thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to say how excited I was about the season, and you did a great job. The one thing I liked about the season was you never made excuses about the injuries. You see interviews with other coaches that say injuries had a negative effect on their season, but you never once said one bad thing. The one question I had was Aurelius Ben. I hadn't heard much about him after the injury. How bad was that injury, and what is his prognosis?
Well, Chris, he tore some ligaments, and he was going to be out for the remainder of the season. He's going to have surgery here soon, and it's coming up there, I believe, this week. And we'll get a definite prognosis on him and what's going to happen with him.
Okay, it's not as bad as, like, say, Cadillac's ACL injury way back when, or –
Yeah, all those injuries are when you're talking about the knee, you're always talking about significant injuries.
Oh,
so,
I understand.
So,
I understand.
Hopefully we can get him back full strength.
He's just a player that I saw really progressing, and I was sorry to see him go out like he did at the end of the year. But great job, and I'm planning to get my season tickets here pretty soon.
I love it, man. Me and you both, man. We were both sad to see all those guys go. We lost, I guess I can talk about it now, but we lost a bunch of guys. You lost Joe McCoy, your first-round pick. You lost Brian Price, your second-round pick. And it really has been your second-round pick as well, that we had two second-round picks this year. And you were able to lose, guys, key players like Aqib Talib, Jeff Fain. Davin Joseph and all the other guys.
Cody Grimm.
Put down Cody Grimm. And all those guys going out, significant. They were starters, and they were big-time players. And I'm excited because, at the end of the season, I got a draft again. Quincy Black. I can't name enough players that I covet, that I love these guys, man. They play so hard for you, and they go out there, and sometimes they go down. We got a mentality around here, man. Next man up.
That is, yeah, and you haven't made those excuses. And, I talked with somebody today and said, well, you know, the Saints didn't have Pierre Thomas. They didn't have Marcus Colston. They lost Chris Ivory during the game. And I said, so that somehow compares to no Brian Price, no Gerald McCoy, no Quincy Black, no Aqib Talib, no Cody Grimm. And they didn't have much to say after that. All right, we will pause. We'll come back. We'll talk about 2011 and look ahead to the future. One final time here with head coach Raheem Morris on the final show of this season. We'll be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
Down the home stretch one last time. You're going to miss me on Monday nights, tell the truth.
No, I am. Miss that.
Come on.
TJ, I'm actually going to miss the fans, man.
I know.
It's fun to talk to the, to answer questions, because sometimes you can assume things, and it's always good to call me and ask, and I can give you, brutal honesty. I can give you the truth a lot of times on the show, so it's nice.
How much did you watch any of Seattle and St. Louis? Could you bring yourself to watch that at all last night?
Didn't watch it last night. I enjoyed my guys. I had a chance to see those guys on the plane, and I really got a chance to enjoy those guys after I woke up from my nap, so It was good.
All right. Are you going to watch some of the playoffs here, or are you just going to be all business?
No, I'm going to go watch Mike Tomlin. Definitely going to watch him.
What's your thought on who ends up playing in Dallas the first Sunday in February? Just take a guess. I mean, I know no disrespect to anybody else that you don't pick.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Everybody thinks it's New England. Everybody thinks it's Atlanta because they're the two top seeds. Might there be some upsets?
Well, I hope so. I hope the Steelers are there. And
Mike Tomlin connection there, all right.
And then I got some friends out in Chicago we know about, and also I got friends all over the league. I got friends in Seattle, man.
Right.
I got guys that I cheer for just because of our personal relationships at this point.
All right, we'll see how that goes. Real quick before we say our goodbyes, you just mentioned about the draft, it's not going to be long before you're starting to evaluate free agents, draft picks, and it's going to be here we go with the 2011 process, right?
I was kidding about that today in the office, and I was with my assistant Jay Kaiser, and I said, "I'm going to sit in the draft room. Let me know when it's time to pick."
You're just going to stay there for a while.
I'm just going to sit there until it's time to pick, and we enjoy work here. It was a great environment that we've created, and we've been allowed to have a lot of free spirited work environment here. So it's great, man. I really just wanted to thank, all our fans, all our believers, all our coaches, all the employees in the building at One Buck, TJ, Jeff Ryan, all you guys, man, for doing the show. And, it's been awesome. Of course I got to, give a special thanks out there to my guy, Mark Dominic, and all he's done for us and everything he's been able to do and our ownership.
Yeah, great stuff with that. And thank you for sitting here. Not just for sitting here, but there aren't a lot of NFL coaches that will take live phone calls from fans. You are a rarity in that department, and you are a treat. And one heck of a season. You again deserve consideration for Coach of the Year. This team made a quantum leap from where it was a year ago. Bright future for 2011. Thank you. Appreciate it.
It's great to take questions from the fans. You got to be accountable.
Yeah,
awesome.
And you have been, and we enjoy it, and we look forward to it again for next year. Many thanks to all of you that have been listening throughout the season, and my thanks again to Jerry Petuck throughout the year for making this show sound as great as it does, Jeff Ryan here on the premises, and the entire Buccaneer staff for helping us out with this show as well. We will talk to you later on this year in 2011 as the season starts to roll around. For now, though, that will do it on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Things looking up, Buck fans. Good night.
Dooming's off vacation now. You got to go back to work for
That's
2 hours.
Right. There you go.
You've been listening to the Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.